We're studying the Maharal as he discusses Psukim in Parshas Va'era. The Maharal is in Sefer Gvuras Hashem, Perek Lamed Aleph. In these editions of the Sefer Gvuras Hashem, page Kuf Chaf. Page Kuf Chaf, Gvuras Hashem, Perek Lamed Aleph. The right hand side. So he quotes the Pasuk, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says flat out, I'm going to harden the Pharaoh's heart. Vani akshe eslev paro. And then in the next Pasuk, Hashem says, V'lo yishma aleichem paro. He's not going to listen to you when you insist that he frees the Jewish people. V'nasati es yadi b'mitzrayim. And then I'm going to use my force, my power, yadi, and force the matter, punish the Egyptians, v'hotzeisias tzivaisayas ami b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim, b'shvatim gedolim. So it would appear that under normal circumstances, without this divine providential hardening of Paro's heart, the Pharaoh would have sent us free. So then why is he guilty of not setting us free? Why is he punished for not setting us free? Yesh makshim, let's begin. We ask, many ask, it's a very obvious question. Lama hirbe HaKadosh Baruch Hu hamakos al paro, leman revos mofsav beretz Mitzrayim. That's quoting from the Pasuk. So that he would be able, so that Hashem would be able to smite Egypt and bring about this great miraculous destruction of Egyptians' will to hold on to the Jews, it would appear as if it's really because God has hardened the Pharaoh's heart. That's why he didn't send them free. Ume'achashe ha'yoreitze Pharaoh lishmoa, meaning that naturally he would have been inclined to listen to Moshe and Aaron and set the Jewish people free. Lama noheg amay kolkach lahakshayis, lama noheg imay kolkach lahakshayis es libay atche yolucha lishmaya. Why be so manipulative, if you will, by moving the sensibility of Pharaoh and changing his natural inclination and ways of thinking and reacting to things so that he would not send the Jewish people free, where he otherwise would have. Ve'im kein hamakos alav b'chinam. So then he's being smitten for no cause. Al loy pishay, for not having done anything. It's like almost A, unfair to the Pharaoh. B, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing? By doing this, what is it that we derive from this? What is it that not only justifies it, but what is it that glorifies HaKadosh Baruch Hu and shows that there's justice in this world? Well, the question has many, many tiers and levels to it. He says, "Ve'ein zekasha." So his first answer, his first teretz is, "Ki mipneisha amar paroi," because Paro said, quote, "Mi Hashem asher eshma b'koloi." Who's God? Who is God? Who is God? Harosha hazeh ve'amoi. Now he writes that it's the Rasha, the Pharaoh, and the people who are following him. Hayu gormim. They're causing that the idea of Hashem Yisparach, the idea of the one master of the universe, should not be known. They're denying that there is a master of the universe. They're denying that all of this, everything that is Him and is because of Him. Ki hakol yodu hakfira v'garam chilul shmai Yisparach. This is a public matter, and it's a tremendous chilul Hashem. Kach ro'uy sheyihye noida shmoy Hashem al yodam. So it's Mida connected Mida. They were not only denying individually, but publicly, it's a whole nation with the Pharaoh at its lead, denying the prerogative of the Almighty and the presence of a one God whose will overarching is in control, must be in control of all of us and of all of the world. No, they're denying that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show him specifically and his people, you can't. I won't let you deny it. And it's really, it's fitting that because they were the ones in denial publicly, so then the truth of Hashem will be brought out and displayed through those very deniers themselves. Lekach roi sheyia noidish mei Hashem al yadam. Through them. They'll be the agents. Kevin shehayu kaifrim bishma yisbarach. So where they had been designing to deny Hashem, they are now going to be the ones to be the screen on which Hashem becomes seen. They're going to be the backdrop for the proof that there is Hashem. Tachas Amro, because of his having said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'Kayla. Okay. Ulficha Chayiv Paro specifically, the Takein Masha Kilkel Kvar. He's the one who has to make it and set it right because of what he had egregiously said. There is no God for me to listen to. Achal Yodogi and Edishmo Yisbarach, Lakachik Shaliboy, Shalishma Laman, Yavi Alov, Hashem Makos Haksuvos, V'Ozi and Noidashmo Yisbarach. That's the first teretz. Very fascinating idea that it's really punishment not just for not sending the Jews free, it's punishment for denying the essence of what is Hashem Yisbarach. And because he would deny that there's a Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem's going to prove and display through him that there is a Hashem Yisbarach. So that's the first teretz. The second teretz, va'oid, me'ikar alav kushihu, there's really no question here to begin with, because if you look carefully at the psukim, and Rashi mentions this also, ki b'chamesh makos harishaynais, lo'hechazik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es libai. The first five were not with Hashem hardening the Paro's heart. Ela ne'emar b'chol pam she'me'atzmai ha'chazik libai. It is of his own volition that he chose not to listen. The psukim, of course, bear this out. In the first five makos, it's he himself, the Pharaoh, who's not willing to listen. And so it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardened his heart. It says, for example, after Makas Kinim, Vayemru Hachartumim El Paro Etzba Elokim Hi, Vayechazak Lev Paro. Doesn't say that Hashem was the one who hardened Paro's heart. Vayechazak. The heart of Paro hardened. It seems that it hardened because of what he heard from the Chartumim. On the other hand, when you get to the first of the last six, excuse me, last the first of the last five makos, beginning with Shchin, the Torah says, "Vayechazek Hashem eslev paro, v'lo shama aleihem." So the first five were not makos to which Paro responded with a hardened heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought about, but rather it was his own doing, his own decision-making. Ki b'chamesh makos harishonos lo'hechazik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es libo, ela namar b'chol pam she'me'atzmo ha'yechazik libo. U'behei, u'b'chamesh makos achronos, hechazik HaKadosh Baruch Hu es libo. And then, of course, the justice is, well, if you are hardening stubbornly your own heart five times, and insisting to defy me, and working on it, you know, you're building up your strength, you're building up your gall and gumption. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, okay, you want to be tough? I'll make you tough. I'll make you so tough that you'll have to endure another five makos. But in those five, I'm going to be making you tough enough to defy what otherwise rationally would be a decision to give in. And then he says a fascinating thing. He explains why the first five makos in their nature were designed to not overwhelm the Pharaoh. Vahatam, ki elu esa makos shehev yakadosh baruch hu al mitzrim chamesh betachtonim ba'aretz v'chamesh be'elyonim b'shamayim. If you divide them five and five, dam tzvardeya kinim ariv dever are all about things happening to water, frogs, blood, lice, plague, the animals, all here, all originating here on this earth. Once, however, you come to Shechin, where a fistful of ashes from an oven are thrown up to the heavens, and they bring about this blistering of the skin all over the people throughout the land. So now we're talking about the atmosphere, we're talking about the Elyonim. Shechin, Barad, Arba, Choshech, and Machas Pecharos are not from the Tachtonim, they emanate from the Elyonim, from above, Bashamayim. It will be explained more later, he says. Because they are here intrinsically with what we know is earth affecting us in the most basic way, affecting our water, the land, the earth that turns into lice, the animals on the land that run wild, the animals that are domesticated, that fall victim to plague. Because it's here on earth, v'ha'adam hu rosh ha'tachtonim, here on earth, man has a sense of being head, leader, has hegemony over this earth, over what's here, down below. He is so much the leader, he is so much the pinnacle of everything that's betachtonim, that he is even ad shehu min ha'elyonim gamke. He is also a bit of from the elyonim. Man's neshama is from above. Rashi, famously in Chumash Breishis Beis Pasukches Vayipach ba'apov, right? Rashi says that man was made asau min ha'tachtonim. Man is made from earth umin ha'elyonim, but also from the heavens above. So man is able to withstand makos whose origin is here on earth. If the maka originates here, it's all about the water, it's all about the sand, and it's turning into lice, it's the animals that walk the earth. If the maka is here on earth, so then it's possible for man to withstand and to bear the maka. It didn't overwhelm man. The first five makos were able to be withstood. They could stand up to it and bear them. Therefore, so that's why in the case of the first five, he was able to adamantly say no and stubbornly hold on. And and he was able to withstand the maka, the plague, and its attendant suffering. That's the first five. But ukasher hiska lavo hamakas achranos shehem me'elyonim. Once we come to Shechin Barad Ar b'chayshich makas b'chayres, those are, so to speak, in the heavens. They come from above, so to speak, meaning they are all about the higher force. And that part of the reality that man is not in control of at all, they all express how man is limited, and these are of a greater dimension than man. So then, then he would certainly, without Hashem hardening his heart, yes, he would have sent us free. but importantly, not because he's repenting and doing the right thing and wants to do the right thing, but because the makos are so overwhelming, he, so to speak, would lose his free will. See, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is not that I'm going to force you, that you can't withstand the makkah, that your suffering brings you to a place where you say, I want to hold on to the Jews, but I can't. That's not what Hashem wants. That's causing him, forcing him to let the Jews go free. No. L'kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu hechzik es libo neged zeh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens the Pharaoh's heart. Shehayu hamakos bo'yisolov l'achriach sheyishalach Yisrael. Because the makos are forcing him to send us free, God hardens his heart to level the playing field. Keneged zeh hechzik es libo l'achriach ha'yisrael shalo yishalach. Fascinating idea. That the makos are so severe that it would be impossible for Paro to withstand them and impossible for him rationally to continue to hold on to the Jews and not set them free. But he wouldn't set them free because it's right to set them free, because it's just to set them free. No. You'd simply set them free because he can't bear the suffering, his own suffering, anymore. That Hashem doesn't want. The point is for him to recognize that Hashem is correct and Hashem is true, and that he, Paro, is wrong. Bringing the makos upon him is just the beginning of that process. Because the makos are so severe that he would let them go, he would free the nation of Israel, but not for the right reason. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we're going to balance the severity of the makos with the stubbornness and the hardening of Paro's heart. Okay. Now in the next paragraph, Amnam B'Shmeis Rabba, I'll speak it out. We'll do it a bit more efficiently that way. In the next paragraph, he quotes the Medrash, and in the Medrash you have Resh Lakish, who says, quoting the Pasuk in Mishlei, Im Leitzim Hu Yalitz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with people with the way they deserve to be dealt with, but he does give us the opportunity, and Paro had the opportunity to do the right thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masre Ba'odom Pam Rishon U Pam Shnia U Shlishi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us many chances. But once it's clear that this person is not responding to God's warnings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will noya libay. He'll lock his heart min hatshuva. He'll bar the person from being able to repent. Kedei lefra mimenu mashachata. To pay back, the severity of the man's sin is such that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to stop him from doing tshuva, so that the full brunt of what he deserves falls on him. Afkan paroi harasha, kevin sheshagar leHakadosh Baruch Hu hey pa'amim, 5 times. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Moshe and Aaron, warns him, punishes Paro and the Egyptians, and he still stubbornly, of his own volition, says no. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll bring you 5 makos. And I'm going to make those 5 makos happen with you not being able to change your mind. You didn't want to change your mind on your own. I'm going to show you that you won't change your mind and punish you as a result of it. I'm going to bar the path to tshuva. And if we look at the second half of this column, I drew an arrow on the words, or under the words, Umida Zos Shakadish Baruch Hu Mosif Tuma Al Tumasam Hu Davar Amak Ma'id, that he would allow the Tuma of Paro to intensify. It's a very, very profound matter. It's a deep and profound matter. Vizeh, because Ki Hatshuva Shayaches La Adam Bishvil Shem Maisa Hachet Ba Min Ha Adam Asher hu bal shinui utmura. Why do people sin? Because we are frail, fragile, fickle, because we human beings are really imperfect and physically dependent and desirous, and lustful, and our guf, our body, that with which we live and interact with the world around us and the things around us, it's all flawed. And we're constantly changing. So, as a result, lekach ein ma'isav v'chatoim shaloi nechshavim ma'isim gemurim. In other words, there's something, even when we do it wrong, that inherently says it's not really what the person is all about. The person's action is not definitively what he really is, because he really is always changing. His ideas, his moods, his desires, they constantly change. His sensibilities, they constantly change. So when we do something that's wrong, is that really you? Not really. We estimate and understand the nature of an action where it depends on, well, who did it and why. People, simple people. So then people who are so ephemeral, people who are so, not just insignificant, but so changeable. So then the mice also doesn't have the sense of being complete, of being fully real. Now, what he goes on to say is that's true when it's without Hashem talking to us, without Hashem giving us a message. You skip a few lines, he says, Aval imas rebo. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns us, Ha'adov hasra, that he gives testimony and warns us exactly what it is that we're doing wrong and what the effect will be and then what the punishment will be. Ha'adov hasra, zos osim lo, that causes that his action, Shemaisav shalo, nechshavim maisa yoser. Now what he does is much more significant. Shaharei heid v'loy shama. So it's not just that you don't listen, but it's now that you have a direct message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that should move you, and that should change you. And particularly, it should mean that you set aside some of your own desires, and set aside and or recognize your own weaknesses and overcome them, and then you refuse. This takes the matter to a different level, and it causes the action to be judged much more severely. The action is far worse. The action is of much more consequence. V'zehu ma'ase gomur bevadai. Oz no'el HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimenu darkei tshuva u'machpidas libay. So he's saying that the idea is that the whole nature of a chet done once we are warned so personally, it's a different chet altogether. It's of great, awful quality. It's of some different level of evil. And if we turn the page to page Kuf Chof Aleph, he explains this on line 4. V'hadvarim elu amukim ma'od af ki nirim shehem niglim v'yiduim ki noyal HaKadosh Baruch Hu darche tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu closes the path, seals the path, locks tshuva, and doesn't allow it for the Pharaoh. She'ha'hasra shehu oiver, by violating and transgressing after such warnings, nire shehu chayte b'sichloi u'bedaitoi. Now he is intentionally, he is with his seichel, with his mind and knowledge, with his mind and way of thinking, he is acting in sin. It's not merely a passion, it's his physical body, his physical human frailty. It's much worse than that. Now, you know, what we would say in Hebrew is, it's a shita. You know, he has his opinion. He has his ways. And his decision is now what's making the sin happen, more so than just his typical weakness of human flesh. And therein lies the guilt that causes tshuva to be barred from the Pharaoh. Ve'ein tshuva rak l'taos shehuba min haguf, sheba min guf ha'adam, loy min hadas. Ah, so now, in this bit of a teretz, it's really like the third teretz to the original question. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens Paro's heart is because the Paro has shown that he will not just out of human weakness violate what's right and do the sins that he is doing, but that he will do it by choice. He will do it after a warning and after HaKadosh Baruch Hu pointing the right way for his sake, and he says, but I choose willfully, mindfully, the wrong path. Oh, so now, this is not just human frailty. This is hubris. This is defiance. It's on a whole different level. And at that point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm barring the path to tshuva from the fire. So, to review, the question is, how can Paro be held accountable if God is hardening his heart? And of course, the first teretz is that it was because the Pharaoh had denied God and denied the existence of the one master of the universe, which is of such a chilul Hashem nature that Hashem says, I'm going to use you, the Pharaoh, to show that I am Hashem. In the second teretz, he says, look, the first five makos really were not makos in which Hashem hardened the Pharaoh's heart. It says in the Torah, Vayachzak Leif Paro, which means that the Paro hardened his heart. In response to that, Hashem said, well, if that's what you're going to do, then I will cause you to be even more stubborn than is good for you. And he explained, of course, beautifully how the first five are makos that come from and are all about things that are here on earth. And therefore, he, Adam, who is, you know, the master of all that's here on earth, he is of the tachtonim, but yet also his neshama is from the elyonim. So he's able to withstand these five makos. But those that are emanating from the Elyonim, that's beyond man's ability to bear. And Hashem knows that he wouldn't be able to withstand the pain, the suffering. He would respond by setting the Jews free, not because it's right to do so. So to balance this all and to level the playing field, Hashem hardens his heart in those last five makos, for those last five makos. And then finally, he says, in a fascinating way of looking at the difference between before you're being warned and after you are being warned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't typically look at a chet and say, this person is in the most willful, evil hazadah, designing how to defy me willfully. It's human weakness and frailty. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has warned the Pharaoh and explained the matter to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh has decided that he's going to defy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Now it's not about your goof, it's about your conscious decision, it's about your mindset. That's the source of this all, the source of your sin, the source of your evil. That deserves to be treated as a much, much more severe, a much more heinous sin. And that's the kind of avera where Hashem says, I bar the path of repentance from you. And that's what happened in the case of the last five makos. So we have seen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is understood here to be very just and is not just using the paro for his own, God's own design, and let me use him to show the world and Am Yisrael who and what I am and what I am capable of doing. There is absolute justice to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to the Pharaoh, because the Pharaoh's evil is such as would deserve correctly for Hashem to respond as he does.